Good evening, and welcome to this evening's meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California. I am Karen Kiefer, a member of the International Relations Member-Led Forum, and your chair for this evening. We also welcome our listeners on the radio, and we invite our audience to visit us online at www.commonwealthclub.org. And now it is my pleasure to introduce our distinguished speaker. Jane Chen is the co-founder of and CEO of Embrace Innovations, a social enterprise that aims to develop disruptive healthcare technologies that will empower the disadvantaged to improve their lives. Previously, Jane worked on healthcare issues in developing countries with nonprofits such as HIV/AIDS organization in China and the Clinton Foundation's HIV/AIDS in Tanzania. She also worked at Monitor Group as a management consultant advising Fortune 500 companies. Jane has been selected as a prestigious TED Fellow and an Echoing Green Fellow, and she was named as one of Forbes Impact 30. Now to speak on the business of saving lives, innovation, implementation, and scale-up, I'd like to welcome Jane Chen to the podium.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me here tonight. So before I start, I wanted to take you guys through a quick exercise. Please close your eyes and hold out your hands in front of you. Now imagine what you could place in your hands. An apple, maybe a wallet. Now open your eyes. What about a life? What you see here is a premature baby. He looks like he's resting peacefully when in fact he's struggling to stay alive because he's unable to regulate his own body temperature. Sadly, there are millions of babies like him born every year around the world. 3 million babies die annually every year within the first 28 days of their life. That's 6 babies every minute. It's one thing to see these numbers. It's another thing to meet the mothers who lose their children and to hear their stories. I'd like to share one of those stories with you tonight.
ಬೆಳಿಗ್ಗೆಯಿಂದ ಹೀಗೆ ಒಂದು 15 ದಿನ ಹಾಲು ಕುಡಿಯೋದು ಬಿಟ್ಬಿಡ್ಲಲ್ಲ ಮೇಡಮ್. ಕಡಿಮೆ ತೂಕ ಇದೆ, ಏನಾದರೂ ಹೆಚ್ಚು ಕಮ್ಮಿ ಆದರೆ ನಾವು ಜವಾಬ್ದಾರಿ ಅಲ್ಲ ಅಂತ ಹೇಳಿ ಸೈನ್ ಮಾಡಿಸ್ಕೊಂಡಿದ್ರು ಮೇಡಮ್ ನಮ್ಮ ಯಜಮಾನರ ಕೈಯಲ್ಲಿ. ಆಮೇಲೆ ಹಿಂಗಾಗೋದ್ಲಲ್ಲ, ಒಂಥರ ಫುಲ್ಲು ಜ್ಞಾನನೇ ಇಲ್ಲ ಮೇಡಮ್, ಕಣ್ಣೆಲ್ಲ ಮುಚ್ಚೋಯ್ತು, ಕಣ್ಣೆಲ್ಲ ಮುಚ್ಚೋಗ್ಬಿಡ್ತು. ಆಮೇಲೆ ಗೊತ್ತಾದಾಗ ಮೇಡಮ್ ಅದೇ ನನಗೆ ನಾನು ನೋವು ತಡೋಕ್ಕಾಗಲ್ಲ ಮೇಡಮ್, ಆ ಟೈಮ್ನಲ್ಲಿ ನೋವು ತಡೋಕ್ಕಾಗಲ್ಲ, ಹೋಗಿ ಒಂದು ನಿಮಿಷ ಜೋರಾಗಿ ಹತ್ತು ಬಿಡೋದು ಮೇಡಮ್, ಜೋರಾಗಿ ಹತ್ಬಿಟ್ಟೆ ನಾನು. ತಪ್ಪಿದ ಮಗುನು ನೋಡಿದೆ, ಇಟ್ಕೊಂಡು ಮುದ್ದಾಡ್ಬಿಟ್ಟೆ ಮೇಡಮ್. ಬೇರೆ ಮಕ್ಕಳು ನೋಡಿದಾಗ ನೆನಪು ಬರುತ್ತೆ ಮೇಡಮ್, ಗ್ಯಾಪ್ನ ಬರುತ್ತೆ, ಯಾವಾಗಲೂ ಗ್ಯಾಪ್ನ ಬರ್ತಾನೆ ಇರ್ತಾಳೆ. ನಂತರ ಬೇರೆ ಯಾರಿಗೂ ಆಗೋದು ಬೇಡ.
Sadly, this is the story I hear over and over again to every village that I visit in India. And what I've discovered in the last 5 years of doing this is that a mother, no matter how poor or uneducated or impoverished, will do anything to save her child. So if there are this many babies still dying, there's something deeply wrong with the systems and the solutions that exist today. One of the biggest problems these babies face is staying warm. That's the primary function of an incubator. But incubators are expensive, they cost up to $20,000, they require a constant supply of electricity, and they're difficult to operate, so you're not going to find them in rural areas where many of these babies are dying. In 2008, while I was a graduate school student at Stanford pursuing my MBA, I took a class called Design for Extreme Affordability. It's half engineers, half MBAs who come together to develop affordable technologies for people living on less than a dollar a day. The challenge posed to us at the time was to build a baby incubator that cost less than 1% the cost of a traditional incubator. So we went to the drawing board. These are our very first sketches. We wanted something that was very intuitive for a mother to use. So we created a concept that looked like a little papoose. And then we thought to ourselves, what can maintain warmth at a constant temperature without the need for electricity, given that these areas are all electricity constrained? And we went back to high school physics, to the concept of a material changing phases. When something changes phases from a solid to a liquid or a liquid to a solid, it does so at one constant temperature. So we thought, how can we find a material with a melting point of 98 degrees Fahrenheit, human body temperature, and then put enough of that material into our device so that it stays warm for an extended period of time? We didn't know what to use at the time, so we prototyped with anything we could find. Can anyone guess what's in this bag, this yellow substance in the Ziploc bags on the top? Butter, exactly, which just ends up having very similar qualities to the material we ended up choosing. We then went to a Salvation Army, and we bought anything we could find that was related to babies. Duct taped together these very first prototypes. You can see in the first version of this, we actually had it such that there's a tube of boiling water that goes directly into the sleeping bag. So you pour boiling water into this little tube here. And then someone said to us, it's probably not a good idea to put boiling water right next to a baby's head. So we quickly scrapped that. Here we realized that babies in these countries don't wear diapers. So you need something that's waterproof and can be cleaned very easily. And these are the materials that we found. We realized that sterilization is a huge issue. These products need to be reusable. They need to be very easy to clean. And so we ended up creating the product out of one entire piece of fabric with no seams on the inside, so dirt was not able to collect. Here we initially had it such that the baby would lie directly on top of the wax pouch. But mothers were afraid that if the pouch were to burst, it would get on the baby, which is not an issue at all. This is food-grade wax. You could ingest it and nothing would happen to you. But because of these perception issues, we ended up creating a separate pocket in the back of the device where this wax pouch goes. Here, doctors requested a transparent viewing window so they could monitor the baby's breathing and color. When we needed to do more user testing, we went to our own family members. This is my nephew, Brad, that I stuffed into one of the early prototypes. And then we needed a way to alert the user when the product was in the right temperature range, when they needed to reheat. And so we ended up putting a liquid crystal display on the bag that changes color according to the temperature. But as we went into villages, mothers would say to us, we don't trust Western medicine. If you give me a certain dose of medicine to give to my baby, I'll cut it in half because it's probably too strong. So if you told me to keep this at 37 degrees Celsius, I keep it at a little less than that's probably too warm. And that led to this design, a happy face, frowning face, a binary design. So it was in this way that we tested and retested and continued to prototype until we came to a product that we were comfortable launching. I'll just show this product. So this is the Embrace. Oops, put this down.
Little pocket in the back, and it creates a warm little
So after years, after over 2 years of testing, prototyping, going through our clinical studies, we're finally ready to launch the product in April 2011. And I remember it was one of those typical cases where in the weeks leading up to the product launch, everything that could have possibly gone wrong went wrong. From a part of our product being stuck in customs and the customs officials demanding bribes to release it, to our wash tags being sewn incorrectly. We literally had to find a tailor on the side of the street to stitch them on properly. To the manufacturing, the electricity in the manufacturing plant going out. But we finally got that product ready to go. And then as we were in the car delivering it to our first customer, we got a flat tire. The only flat tire I've ever gotten in India. So the whole team piled out. We got into an auto rickshaw, the one you see here, got it to the doctor's office, and here's our very first customer. The whole experience was very symbolic, as if to say, doesn't matter what gets in our way, we're going to do this no matter what. And to me, that's what entrepreneurship is all about. It's figuring out a way to fight all the obstacles that get in your way and doing whatever it takes to achieve your final goal. The Embrace Warmer is now being used in clinics all across India, and we're doing pilots in 10 countries as well. And I'm going to share a few of the stories of the babies we've helped. So this is Shiva Madhama. She is a 19-year-old first-time mother from a village in South India. Behind her are her mother and her grandmother. She gave birth to an underweight baby boy that was kept in our device for a few weeks. And here he is a few months later. When we went back, everyone in the house was doting over this little boy as they were debating what to name him for the 9-month naming ceremony. And while it was a festive occasion, it was also a stark reminder to us that in India, many babies aren't named until they reach 9 months because it's so common they'll die before then. This is Kirti. Kirti lost her first child and gave birth to a second premature baby girl that was kept in the Embrace Warmer. Here she is 3 months later. You can see she's turned into a nice little butterball. And everyone was so excited about the product that they'd gone back and told all of the local villagers about Embrace. And here she is most recently. She just turned one. And this is Sarah. Sarah is from Uganda. She comes from a family of farmers. She has a fourth grade education. Sarah gave birth to a premature baby girl that was kept in the Embrace Warmer. And here she is a few months later, happy and healthy. I'd like to share one of my favorite stories of baby Long. So this is baby Long. He was abandoned in central China, in a village in central China, literally left on the side of the road. He was less than 2 pounds when they found him. A local orphanage that we work with in Beijing rescued him, kept him in the Embrace Warmer for 30 days. And here he is 7 months later. When I went to visit, he was healthy. He was happy. The orphanage informed me this was the first time a baby of this size had survived there. And here he is at his one-year birthday. And most recently, we got this email. A family from Chicago wrote to us, "I loved your post in February celebrating Long's first birthday. We have a pre-approval to adopt him and hope to travel to Beijing this summer to bring him home. We are so grateful for your organization and the role you played in saving Long's life." When I got this, I cried tears of joy. And this is exactly what makes every day of my work worthwhile. Embrace has now helped about 10,000 babies, primarily in India, but as I said, with pilots in 10 countries, in Africa, in South America, most recently in Afghanistan. And this is just the beginning. We hope to continue scaling this product. And our long-term vision is to create a whole line of innovative, affordable medical technologies for the most disadvantaged communities. I'd like to end by sharing the story of Sujata. Sujatha is one of the first women that I met when I first moved to India. She lost all three of her babies, one after the other. And when I showed her the embrace warmer for the first time, she began to weep. And she said to me, maybe if I had this, I could have saved my babies. Maybe I could have been a mother. Those words play themselves over and over again in my mind. It is our hope and our dream that there is a world where babies no longer die from being cold, where every mother is empowered to save her child, and which we can ensure through the use of innovative technologies that people no longer die for preventable causes. Thank you.
Our thanks to Jane Chen for her very interesting and informational and emotional presentation this evening. Thank you. I'm Karen Kiefer, a member of the club's International Relations Member-Led Forum, and we'll be taking questions. Right now that you're listening, the radio audience is listening to The Business of Saving Lives, Innovation, Implementation, and Scale-Up with Jane Chen. Do we have some questions from the audience? Questions? Let me give you this one. Hello.
Yes, thank you for a very, very interesting talk. I was wondering if you have any problem with other medical problems like undeveloped lungs. I understand that premature babies typically have undeveloped lungs, and I don't know that would the embrace help with that.
No, the embrace warmer is just for temperature regulation. So traditional incubators have other functionalities, including air sterilization, humidity control, oxygen supply. But it turns out that about 80% of the babies only need temperature regulation. So this isn't going to help every premature or low birth weight baby out there. But we basically stripped out all of those other things and focused on what we thought was the most important aspect. An interesting fact about this, though, is that there are actually 20 million of these premature and low birth weight babies born annually. About 3 million died, as I presented. But the bigger problem is not death. It's actually morbidity or illness. Because so much of these babies' bodily functions go towards staying warm, the rest of their bodies don't develop normally. So they're known to grow up as sick adults with all sorts of health problems. So by providing temperature regulation and proper care in those first 28 days, you're actually preventing these babies from becoming sick adults.
Sure. Do you know about how young or how premature the youngest babies are that you saved or have worked with?
We actually tend to look more at weight as opposed to prematurity. And I would say the smallest babies are 800 and 900 grams, so less than 2 pounds.
Are you guys also looking at educating mothers in terms of nutritional? Are you also looking at educating mothers on, nutrition and kind of raising premature babies, or is that, too far outside of the main mission of Embrace?
No, we are definitely doing that. So Embrace is currently providing education on a variety of things, from hygiene to breastfeeding to something called kangaroo mother care, which is placing baby against mother's bare chest. And what we want to do is really provide a holistic solution as opposed to a technology, right? Because there's so many factors that go into infant mortality. So education is really important for us. And the next stage for us is really expanding those education programs.
Any
As an entrepreneurial venture, I'm curious about how you got your funding.
Sure. So we started out as a nonprofit. We incorporated, I think, in 2008 and got the funding through a number of things, various grants, individual donors, fellowships, and so on. In 2011, we spun out a for-profit arm of the company. And so we have a for-profit and a nonprofit that sit side by side. And the way it works is the nonprofit takes philanthropic donations to give the warmer away for free to the poorest communities through NGO partners, provide education as well, do monitoring and evaluation. The for-profit manufactures the product and sells it to the clinics that are able to pay for it, and also does research and development. So the goal is, by having these two organizations sit side by side, we can leverage both philanthropic capital and private capital to expand our reach.
NorCal Peace Corps Association is partnering tonight, and I was wondering, regarding Peace Corps, have you approached them, because they do a lot of health care in developing countries in remote areas where there aren't doctors? And also, do you work with the Midwifery Association in America, or whatever it's called, because a lot of midwives on Indian reservations or Native American reservations and other remote places could use something like this?
Yeah, and in fact, that's what we designed this for in the early days. We wanted it to be easy enough for a mother or a midwife to use. So in India, we plan to start working with midwives soon. I don't think in the U.S. we work with the Midwifery Association, but the Peace Corps would be a great partner, so we'd love to explore that.
Yes, and you're going to D.C. in a week, and Carrie Hessler Radlett, the acting director of Peace Corps' background is health,
right,
in developing nations.
Oh, great.
Hi, I worked with an organization called Medic Mobile, and we also do a lot of work in these underserved communities around the world. I thought it was really interesting when you talked about the whole customer discovery process and how, you know, you realize that, you know, when it comes to indicating the temperature, it might be better received by the local population if you're to use these, like, smiley faces or sad faces. Could you talk a little bit more about how you guys came to sort of just the process of it, you know, whether you were able to obtain any help from the local population, entrepreneurs on the ground who have the inside knowledge?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was really just being so right after the Stanford class, after we graduated, we actually all packed up our bags. We moved to India. And so the whole company is based out in India. And it was exactly for this reason, because we wanted to make sure that the product is locally appropriate. There's a lot of nuances that, you know, you don't fully appreciate or understand unless you're living and breathing that culture every day. And so a lot of our work was just, we test something, we go back to the lab, iterate, and then test it again. And there was also a co-creation process where we actually would sit down with a group of mothers and have them create for us what they thought was the best solution. So there was indeed, you know, a process that we went through, but it was mostly just iteration after iteration to get to these insights.
I was curious about the title of your talk, The Business of Saving Lives.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if I could ask you to switch gears and talk about the business of saving lives within the borders in the United States. So in the healthcare system in the United States tends to be more expensive solutions, mm-hmm, rather than extreme affordable solutions that,
sure,
your mm-hmm group is going after. What are some of the, what are your thinking that we can apply extreme affordability within our own borders in terms of innovation, yep, affordability?
Oh, yeah, I think it's extremely relevant. And there's been a lot of talk of this idea of reverse innovation. So innovating in emerging markets and bringing those innovations back to the U.S. So you put constraints around a problem when you work in an environment like India or Uganda or so on, but oftentimes those solutions are just as relevant for the U.S. So we are actually have started trials at the Lucile Packard Children's Hospital at Stanford with the idea that you can actually wean babies off of incubators and put them into the Embrace device instead. Now, NICU, neonatal intensive care unit costs are amongst the highest healthcare costs in the U.S. And so this is the advantage of, you know, being cost-saving, as well as, if you think about it, incubators completely isolate mothers from their babies, right? Whereas this allows a mother to be right next to her baby, enables breastfeeding, mother-child bonding, a host of other things. So there are great advantages to this product beyond just cost, and we are very excited to bring this into the U.S. in the future. You face a whole set of regulatory constraints, which makes it challenging and makes it more expensive, but I think there's certainly a lot of scope for bringing low-cost innovations to the U.S. healthcare system.
Hi. I wonder, along that lines, if you're thinking of doing some kind of randomized control trial where you compare it to some other method like kangaroo mother care or and how you're evaluating that, you know, your product against other existing technologies to really measure its effect, not necessarily here, but also in places like India or China or other areas where you already are.
Yeah, actually, we've run a number of randomized controlled trials. So these have been done in India comparing our product to what's called a radiant warmer, which is a standard of care in India and many, many countries. And those studies have shown that our product performs as well as the standard of care, even in tertiary level facilities. So we're in the process of doing further studies, looking at more settings. Those were done in hospitals in Bangalore. We're now looking at doing them in government facilities, perhaps doing them outside of India as well. So the studies are continuing, and that's actually a very important part of this process for us. We don't want to just be a low-cost device, but we want to ensure that quality as well. And so although these clinical studies aren't technically needed in these countries, we've gone through a very rigorous process to ensure that those happen.
I have been involved with an organization in Nicaragua that is called Casa Materna, which serves high-risk mothers from the rural areas. If they were to want to be involved with or find out more information about Embrace, you have a website. Would that be the best way for them to get in touch?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's embraceglobal.org. And my colleague Priya Mistry is here. She's actually based here in San Francisco. So we're happy to give you some information after this.
Great. Thank you.
What would you say is your big audacious goal? You know, when you look out into the world and what you want to see Embrace accomplish, what is that?
Yeah. I think, as I mentioned earlier, in the short term, our goal is over the next 5 years to help 100,000 babies. And beyond that, to develop a line of affordable healthcare technology. So we don't want to stop with this product. We want to look at other innovations in this space as well.
You mentioned your very first customer going to the doctor's office. And I wondered how you work with doctors. Are most just referred by doctors, or do you deal with other healthcare professionals mainly?
At the moment, we work primarily with doctors. So the product is being distributed through small clinics in towns, in village-level settings, and gets used in the hospital. So we're just piloting a product that goes home with the mother now. And eventually, over time, the hope is that it can be used directly just by the mother and the midwife. But we've started in a hospital setting just to ensure the safety of usage, the effectiveness of usage, given that with a doctor, it's a trained caregiver.
Could you tell us about some of your products in development?
They're very early stage right now, so I would say they're more concepts than anything else. Yeah, so not quite ready to talk about yet, but we want to stay within the infant maternal healthcare space.
Hi,
As you continue to think about sort of expansion effort, either geographically and also, you know, from a product perspective, what are some of the challenges that you are anticipating, and how do you guys plan on sort of preparing for them?
A number of challenges. I think both distribution and effective implementation, as well as monitoring and data collection, are all huge challenges. So distribution, you know, we're trying to get this to some of the poorest, some of the hardest to reach areas. How do you do that effectively? How do you do that in a cost-effective way as well? And who are the right partners to help enable that distribution? By implementation, I mean it's not so easy. It's just leaving the product there. There's a training effort and education effort involved. You know, a lot of people, even doctors in India, don't realize that hypothermia is a problem. In South India, for example, they say the weather's warm here, so hypothermia actually doesn't exist. So there's a massive education effort that is required. And again, we really need the help of partners to be able to do that. And then lastly, data collection, monitoring, right? And beyond the clinical studies, beyond this being used in a controlled environment, once it gets into the field, how do you know this is effective? How do you know people are using it properly? How do you know they're, you know, cleaning the product? All of that is really important to build the body of evidence to show that, hey, this is effective. And now we can get, you know, various governments, foundations, UNICEF, the World Health Organization, to adopt it and scale it more broadly. So lots and lots of challenges.
Did I understand that you are using this now in hospitals where there are doctors, but if you're planning on using it with women in remote areas, is it something they would have to buy, or so they'd have to afford the $200?
No, we actually have a second version of the product that we've been piloting that costs less than $100. Mm-hmm. And there, we're also looking at rental models. Yeah. And when we sell to one of the plans for distribution is to get this to community healthcare workers. So in India, they have hundreds of thousands of these community healthcare workers that the government employs, which go in, they go into homes to deliver newborn care. So if the government supplies it, then the women would not have to pay anything for it.
Well, so I should disclose I have two embrace warmers in my project in Guatemala.
Oh, nice. So, awesome.
We have a little bit of local experience with them. But one of the things I see them working really well for is in transportation of infants that are born at home or in local clinics that need to be transported to hospitals. And so we've seen where that's been used really well. If you're putting them in a car or an ambulance and you're trying to get them to the hospital,
yeah,
that's where they really come in. So I'm wondering if you've been looking at this device, not just at the hospital or with the midwife, but between the two, which
definitely
is where it's really useful.
Yeah. Yeah, transportation is one of the biggest use cases for this. So in India, you rarely ever see transport incubators. And if a baby is born in a small clinic and needs to be taken to a referral hospital for further care, as you well know, you know, those first couple hours are the most critical in the baby's life. I think UNICEF did a study a while back in India that showed by the time the baby got to the referral hospital, about 50% of the babies were already hypothermic. So indeed, transportation is one of the biggest use cases for the product.
I was curious about, you know, you're talking about dealing with the extreme ages. On the other extreme, we have an aging demographic in the United States, probably across the world as well, where as you get older, you don't generate heat as well. And there may be some application of something like this for that population who don't have heat in the wintertime.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of people have come to us regarding using this for homeless populations, for example, older people. When I have back pain, I actually sleep with that wax pouch, and it's awesome. So I think there are many, many other use cases for this.
Any other questions?
Is it patented?
It is patented, yeah.
Well, it's an amazing product. I'm just so fascinated by this. I can see why you're a TED fellow and Emerging Green or whatever it is fellow. Does anyone have any last questions to ask Ms. Chen? Well, we want to thank you so much. This is the Commonwealth Club of California, and we have just heard Jane Chen with The Business of Saving Lives, Innovation, Implementation, and Scale-Up. We want to thank you all for coming. And now this session of the Commonwealth Club of California, experiencing 110 years of enlightened discussion, is closed.